May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I am convinced that God is everywhere and that it is true that in him we live and move and have our being. He is in the kind word of a stranger. He is in the smile of a friend. He is in the excitement of a new book. He meets us in the doctor's surgery and the longing we feel for what is still unknown for us. We encounter him through the sense of eternity in our hearts, and he's present in our memories and in the act of remembering. He touches us with the fresh sea breeze and with the wind coming off the river on Chelsea Bridge. He speaks to us in the song of the blackbird, or, as I saw last week, in the flock of parrots flying over the golden dome of Regent's Park Mosque. His power is manifest inside the atom and in the burning stars. We meet God in light and darkness, in the water of gentle rain and the raging storm, in crackling fire and in the glow of electric current in etched circuits too small to imagine, in the ploughed field and in the scientist's vacuum. In smell and taste we meet God too. And religious women and men throughout the ages have known that their encounter with the deity can be both experienced and understood through the medium of food, that most fundamental element of human life, which sustains us, satisfies us, saves us, delights us, excites us, and heals us. For that reason, food and drink are key metaphors, among other images in our understanding of the divine and our encounter with the God of eternity in the present. Today, our gospel reading and the passage also from Exodus invite us to think some more about the images used about God in terms of food. First man and first woman ate the wrong fruit. Noah got drunk and made a spectacle of himself. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Famine led Israel to Egypt, where Joseph's dreams about food gave him control over the whole kingdom. With a sacrificed lamb and a hasty meal, the Israelites escaped from Egypt. And then manna and quails signaled God's care for his people in the wilderness until they came to the land which was, they believed, to flow with milk and honey. Later still, Ezekiel had to eat the scroll which God gave him before he could prophesy. Jesus' first miracle was to turn water into wine at a wedding reception. Abstaining from locusts and wild honey, as John the Baptist, his cousin, had eaten, he ate and drank with all sorts of people and drew all these threads into an extraordinary nexus of meanings in the Last Supper. And ultimately, we look forward to the consummation of all things in one great heavenly banquet. Jesus, throughout the account in John's Gospel, presents himself to his disciples using metaphors and poetic ideas which they can relate to. He says, "I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the true vine." And he moves between these concrete images to more abstract ones, saying, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the resurrection and the life." He begins with images which people can understand from their own lives, and he moves to another level, to a cosmic level, giving them an eternal sense of his own identity. Gates and shepherd, grapevines and bread are all culturally specific. But the point of them is to point to something which is beyond our experience, and yet also within our experience, to the eternal Christ. One of the most moving poems which I know is The Everlasting Mercy by John Masefield, who was poet laureate from 1930 until his death in 1967. I find his writing very moving because he tried to broaden the limited language and thought world of ordinary people, bringing poetry into everyday life. It certainly works for me. I'd like to read a part of this poem as an example in our language and from just about our own time, of that sense of the communication of the overwhelming love of God through nature, through food, through bread, the eternal breaking into the present, the divine discovered in the ordinary, communion with God and the salvation of God received in the redemptive healing bread which we share, the bread for which we also labour. It uses metaphor and imagery as Christ did himself, pointing to what lies beyond and to what lies within. The Everlasting Mercy is about a man called Saul Cain, who came to an experience of Christ, a moment of repentance and redemption, an experience of the eternal mercy of God in nature, in work, and ultimately in witnessing the ploughing of a field and his reflections about the bread which would come from it. He presents life as one divine feast to which all nature comes, with holy bread, the unpriced, the priceless bread of life, Christ. I did not think, I did not strive, the deep peace burnt me, burnt my me alive. The bolted door had broken in, I knew that I had done with sin. I knew that Christ had given me birth to brother all the souls on earth, and every bird and every beast should share the crumbs broke at the feast. O glory of the lighted mind, how dead I'd been, how dumb, how blind. The station brook to my new eyes was babbling out of paradise. The waters rushing from the rain were singing, Christ is risen again. I thought all earthly creatures knelt from rapture of the joy I felt. The narrow station wall's brick ledge, the wild hop withering in the hedge, the lights in Huntsman's upper story were parts of an eternal glory, were God's eternal garden flowers. I stood in bliss at this for hours. The figures move against the sky, the clay wave breaks as they go by. I kneeled there in the muddy fallow. I knew that Christ was there with Callow, that Christ was standing there with me, that Christ had taught me what to be, that I should plough, and as I ploughed, my Saviour Christ would sing aloud, and as I drove those clods apart, Christ would be ploughing in my heart. Through rest harrow and bitter roots, through all my bad life's rotten fruits. O Christ, who holds the open gate, O Christ, who drives the furrow straight, O Christ, the plough, O Christ, the laughter of holy white birds flying after. Lo, all my heart's field red and torn, and thou wilt bring the young green corn, the young green corn divinely springing, the young green corn forever singing. And when the field is fresh and fair, thy blessed feet shall glitter there. And we will walk the weeded field and tell the golden harvest's yield, the corn that makes the holy bread by which the soul of man is fed, the holy bread, the food unpriced, the everlasting mercy, Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.